All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, ain't nothing like a good understanding. You know, the way it reminds me of when I first started in going to church on my own and learning of God. People didn't really talk too much about works and the value of works. That's one thing I kind of learned from the Holy Spirit and my father. Now, my dad worked at a lot of preachers don't, back in those days. That's all they did. They were full-time. But my dad had one of those jobs. He worked the U.S. Pipe all during the week. And then Saturday morning, he'd drive all the way to Utah. He pastored three churches in Utah. And he'd do one church on one Sunday and two churches on the next Sunday. And then he'd drive all the way back home. And then he'd get up early in the morning and be at work 6 o'clock in that plant. And he worked in one of the worst parts of it. He worked where they make the rock wool. And he had been retired 25, 30 years. And he said, my back still itched from that job. So I grew up, I saw works. I saw his dedication. And I learned the value of that. You know, I used to wonder as a child, why does he do that? Why does he do all this work? And but now I see why. He was also a World War II veteran. He saw the worst of the worst. And just like any other soldier, he don't want to talk about it. I learned what he went through after I was grown. And World War II vets, they came back here sober. And he left. He joined the army running from the Lord. He didn't want to preach. And a lady. Yeah. And this lady, saw him on the bus. She said, you supposed to preach. He said, I'm going to pray for you and you coming back home. And he went over there. He's still running from the Lord. And he said he got underwater in China. He was underwater. And he couldn't get out. He was stuck underwater. And he said he was underwater long enough to drown four men. And when he got out of that water, he went straight to the chaplain and surrendered. Yeah. And he surrendered. He started preaching. Yeah. And he never regretted it. He became a Methodist pastor and he took it very serious.
I'm sure he did.
And he would work against all odds. He would do whatever he was supposed to do. And when I would pray for things, and I noticed that if it was something like healing, I'd get healed. If it was something I desired, the Lord would always give me something to do so that I could buy it. You know, I prayed for a drum set when we were in the band. And I got saved while we were in the band, and I prayed for my own drum set. So I got overtime, and I bought a used one, and I was going to fix it. And then the guy said, why don't you just buy a new one? For a few hundred dollars more, you just buy a new one. So I made extra money, so I bought the new one. And I got the extra money I needed to pay for it, doing overtime. And I heard other testimonies, they pray for something, and they get it. But every time I pray for something, I get work to do.
Yeah.
And I started noticing. That faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
And that, you know, people slide over. They read that one quick. Okay. They slide over. Faith without work, it takes, you know, a bird with one wing can't fly. If something happened to one of those wings, he's not leaving the ground and the cat gonna get him.
That's true. That's what happened.
And and I learned the work ethic from watching my parents. Because my mom revered my dad, and she helped him with all she had. She honored him, and that's why marriage was so important. I said, I want to have a wife that'll support me like that. And other men in the neighborhood, they had good wives like that. That's what I saw. So that's what I that's where my vision was set out. And so I made a lot of choices because of that. And, you know, my parents probably had no clue of the impact that they had, because I rarely told them about it. You know, when they were older, I'd mention it from, you know, time to time, but they probably didn't realize the impact that they, just by doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the right thing, living the light of God is sowing, and it has high value. So when the Lord speaks with the mind to work, when he say do something, I was used to it. And when the Lord called you to do something, it's like Pastor said, ministry, you spell ministry, W-O-R-K.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you, there's a balance. The anointing is sweatless effort, because that doesn't come through your mind. That's a gift. That's a grace. You have God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. All right? So you have God, just like Samson. He wasn't trained to fight. He was anointed to fight. All he had to do was keep covenant, and you don't fight.
That's true.
He'd kill you. He was anointed to fight and judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a way, he was kind of reckless.
But
you could tell that what he actually did and the way he reasoned and the way he fought was not of him. He fed his parents honey out of a dead lion's carcass. That's as reckless as you can get. But he killed a lion in the first place. Now, the balance is we still require, even anointed people are required to live by their faith. So whenever God gives me to do, I do my part, I do the manward side, and he'll do the Godward side. But when it's time for me to do the anointing, it's sweatless effort. He'll give me what to say, I just say it. It's easy. But you know, paying for radio time, you have to fix a lot of cars to pay for radio time. And I don't mind, because it's you know, that's sowing too. Mm-hmm. You can't outgive God. And I expect for God to, you know, my daddy was retired almost my whole career. I saw him do all that work at that hard job and then go out of town preaching. And then it got to when he retired about the second year I started working. And then all he had to do was preach for years. And he did that till his health failed. So there's a lot of people didn't get to enjoy their retirement. We got a good retirement system where I work. And a lot of people, they retire and then they die. And that job wasn't as strenuous as my dad's. But what you sow, you will reap. And when God guides you, he guides us to do things that will work. And we have to receive from him the way to do it, the method and everything, and put works with it until it's complete. Because completed works is rewarded. You know, you have to finish. And the Lord gave us a pattern. You don't let the devil get involved. You know, the first thing Jesus did, he went and the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he defeated him. And that was the pattern he used for the rest of his time on earth. He defeated Satan. He never gave Satan an inch.
That's right.
And David was in the same position first. He killed Goliath. But he killed his opposition. And Jesus killed his opposition. And then he went forward doing the works of God. Now, we made it to Acts chapter 27. Now, Paul told, we made it to verse 12. Paul told him in the first place that he perceived that this voyage was going to be with much loss. And they didn't listen to him. Now, now they're about to enter a part, they're about to go through a bad storm, and it's going to be with much damage, just like he told them in the first place. When the Holy Spirit speaks, people don't always flow with him. If they had listened in the first place, they would have had the load, the ship, nobody would have got hurt. And thank God nobody got hurt, but and some good came out of it. But the Holy Spirit did give him warning.
Yes, he did.
And just like David, you know, when he was anointed king, he didn't know what to expect. The Holy Spirit guided him. He killed Goliath. Then he had a bigger challenge. The king wanted him dead. When you're anointed and you go forward doing the will of God, people don't always receive change. Jesus faced the same storm after he defeated Satan. See, Saul sat in Moses' seat, and so did the Pharisees. They sat in Moses' seat too. And they wanted Jesus dead. They tried to trick him. They tried to make him stumble. Now, remember, when Jesus was born, he was stripped. He did this thing as a man. He had to learn the word of God. He had to learn, and he had to grow, and he had to be trained, and he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He did it like we have to do it. And when in verse 12, we're entering the part where the ship was about to be destroyed. They didn't listen. Paul gave them one. They didn't listen. So in verse 12, it said, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught up and could not bear up into the wind, we let her dry. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." So they're throwing the load away to lighten the ship. Mm-hmm. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." The Holy Spirit gave them fair warning, and they didn't listen. Throughout the Holy Spirit, that's why we need him to guide us in this life.
Amen.
And the more you trust him, the more you'll trust him. Before you trust him, the enemy is going to make it look cloudy. Hey, you're not going to win doing that. You don't know. And when you're uncertain, you can side with him. I told my children, everything sounds good, whether it comes from God or Satan, because Satan dresses it up. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is accurate. The voice of Satan is a lie.
Amen.
It'll look like gold, but it's rust on the backside. When, with this in mind, Paul said, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And now this is a word of knowledge. "For there stood up by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, he gave them something to trust. He told them it was going to be bad in the first place. But this time he said no man's life will be lost. And when you don't want to die, you listen. You know, this is like E.F. Hutton speaking now. They listened to the Holy Spirit this time. and they had reason to trust him. An angel appeared to him, and then he must be brought before Caesar. When this gave him hope. When, as we go forward, the work of the Holy Spirit, it must be done, and it's beyond us. You know, we was driving to South Carolina one time. Elder Lewis had to preach, and I was speeding. And when the officer pulled me over, he said, if you had gone 2 more miles an hour over the speed limit, I would have had to arrest you. I said, man. Because that's back when it was 60. I was doing 85 or 83. He said, 2 more miles per hour over, I would have had to arrest you.
You were doing how much, 83?
I think I was doing 83 or 85 or something like that.
Whoa.
And I was moving. I wasn't watching the clock. I was moving. And that was back when the speed limit was 60. And when he gave me my ticket and he left, Elder Lewis said, I knew he wasn't going to arrest you because the Lord gave me a message, and I got to preach this message. So the Lord can do things to help us along.
You know, Kim Copeland won't go over the speed limit. He says if he's late, he's late. He won't take soap out of a motel room. I think he pays for the soap. His spiritual walks that way. Don't go over the speed limit. It's 15 miles an hour.
You need the soap in there because it keeps for them going up on the price of the hotel. Yeah. But like you said, you've been a paper. You don't need the soap.
But when... you know, the Lord will move on your behalf. I went down the road praising God, doing 60.
No.
I didn't know they could put you in jail, I guess, for going away.
Yeah, I was moving. I wasn't slowing down.
Did you?
I
thought they just charged you more money.
No, each town kind of sits up on the
Where was this brother? What state?
I think we was on our way to Carolina. Was going through
They
kind of
set
Georgia.
Up their own little kind of rules.
I think we were going through Georgia or something. And but I was moving. And I drove fast along. I stopped doing that, but eventually. But anyway.
My sister was going through Louisiana.
Yeah.
And she came across this speed trail.
Mm-hmm.
She was just doing one or two over.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave her a ticket.
Yeah.
She was out of town.
Mm-hmm. They'll
she was out of town.
It
was waiting on
her.
I mean, it was just right over.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, she was mad for weeks.
Yeah, I was about 20 years old, 21. I didn't drive slow for nobody. But, I changed. I had to change it. Yeah.
We're about to go over. Well, we're over.
Yeah.
It's at 11:20. You can't see that clock now, because I didn't see it this morning.
The glare.
Or was it just me? The clock.
It's got a glare on it. But when they got to a point that they listened.
Yes.
Now, people don't always follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, the next week, we're going to see how this God worked it out for the good. He doesn't waste anything. Mm-hmm. And he works with us where we are.
Amen.
Now, he rebuked Peter and them because they didn't calm the storm. But Paul wasn't trained that way yet. So he didn't rebuke Paul for not commanding the winds to not blow because he wasn't trained that way. It never came up in that relationship when the Holy Spirit was teaching Paul. He was in the desert, not the ocean. You know, and the Lord, he blesses us where we're at.
Amen. Because he rebuked his other disciples that y'all should have been able to.
Yeah, they saw
the wind, but he didn't do that before.
They saw many miracles firsthand. Paul didn't. He saw a few miracles compared to them. And, you know, now he didn't have faith for stopping the storm. He had the right to because
we... Well, God had already told him what was going to happen. There was going to be a storm.
Yeah.
So he didn't say, then fail to stop the storm. So,
now, if Peter was there...
But God had told him.
It wouldn't have mattered. Peter would have just stopped the storm.
Yes, God had told him, but what he was saying, he didn't operate like Peter. All of us going to have different operations.
Well, he uses us where we're at.
He didn't have faith for that.
I was just saying God had just spoken something.
Yeah, he did.
It had come to pass. Mm-hmm. He had spoken.
Yeah. And he'll use us where we're at.
Amen.
And because faith begins where the will of God. He knew, Peter not knew, Peter was taught the will of God in that situation.
And I chose to do the wrong, so that's something.
Yeah, okay. But the Lord blessed him anyway. He used it for good.
Amen. It get good, brother. I know it get good. I mean, but we'll be back in there.
Okay, we stopped at verse, what, 25?
That was good.
All right. The Lord, I thank you for your word and your wisdom. I thank you for your training.
Amen.
Lord, bless us to receive from you promptly and quickly so that we can better use the short time we have left before your great return.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us to do all that's in your heart and activate as many people that will follow you as possible. In Jesus' mighty name. Activate all your laborers in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.